Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Let's just read together for a little bit. And I'll read it for you, and I'm not going to have you read it out loud with me. I say let's read together, and it always in my mind, I think, what am I going to do when they all start reading out loud with me? Oh, I'm going to read it, and I'll read it for you. All right, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. He is in Rome. He is away from them. And he's writing this, and he's telling them, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Okay, that's pivotal. By being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So he's dealing with their unity right now, the unity of this church. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So think of others more highly than you do of yourself. Paul is concerned with the unity of the church at Philippi. And so he's writing this to them, and he wants them to remember others above themselves. Verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Very familiar scripture that you're going to be very aware of. But I believe I've got something the Lord has dropped into my heart to share with you about this that can change your outlook tonight about your life and about the possibilities of God in your life. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. Now, how many know when we are studying the Word, it is important to continue reading? That you don't just stop, you need to continue. You need to get context. You need to understand what is being said and why it's being said. And you need to understand background, and you need to understand what's on the other side of it, so that you can stay in tune with what God is trying to say. So we're going to keep reading. Verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You've heard that verse and that statement before. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You're among a crooked and perverse generation, but you are to shine as lights in this dark world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. And we're going to talk tonight, and we're going to take this. I wanted to read that entire setting for you. He goes in and he commends Timothy to them and Epaphroditus, and he talks to them in the remainder of the chapter. But I wanted to read those verses for you because it lays out the process, the thought process that we're going to deal with tonight. Now, I want to focus on the idea in verse 12 where he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And verse 13 then that says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. And I want to combine that with verse 5 where he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. I want to talk to you tonight about working out of the form that you currently hold. I want to talk to you about that because this hit me, and the thought that hit me really shook me to my core, if you will. Because so often we struggle with ourself. We struggle with our weaknesses. We struggle with our imperfections. We struggle with our perceived inabilities. In essence, because we are human and we are fallen by nature, we struggle with our form. Okay? So we look at ourselves and we say, well, I can't do that. Why can't I make myself do that? Why am I not better at that? Why can't I overcome that? And the struggle really boils down to, we are struggling with our current form, how we view ourselves. And something just ignited me from the Lord, I believe, that this afternoon the Lord just dropped, he brought this out to me in a way that I had not ever seen this before or heard this before. I'm sure people have said it. I'm not saying no one has ever said it. All I'm saying is I had never seen this or shared this before or heard this before. The Lord just brought this to my mind. And he took me back to verse 5 and he said, read it again. So I began to read it again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The key is to let this same mind, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So there's something key there. So more important than your form is your thought process. Okay? That's number one. First thing you got to remember. More important than your form right now, more important than your weaknesses, your struggles, your failures, your form, if you will, more important than that is your mind. What mind is in you? Is the mind of Christ in you? And then the Lord said, but keep reading. And all of a sudden, it began to come alive to me. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Okay, that's great. But verse 7 changes it. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Okay? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, who came in the form of a bondservant, humbled himself as a man in order to fulfill God's purpose. Here's the statement. The form he was in was equal to the task that he carried. Okay. Now you're going to have to hear that. the form he was in was equal to the task he carried from the Father. Because he kept his mind on God's will. His form was humbled as a man, as a servant, as a bondservant. He didn't come in the form of King of Kings in that instance. He didn't come in the form everybody thought that he would come. He came and he humbled himself. He lowered himself. He brought himself into a state of weakness as mere man. And we discover that even in the form of weakness, he was equipped to fulfill the task of salvation. And when I saw that, and then the Lord said to me, now, go read verse 12 again. And I read, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In the form of weakness and humility, and as a mere man, and because he had the mind of the Father and the will of the Father, Christ was able to obtain salvation for all of us in spite of the form that was ridiculed. And what I believe Paul is saying to them, and what the Lord is saying to us tonight, is this: have the mind of Christ. And recognize that even in the form you are in, salvation is in you from God the Father through Christ. Work that out. Here's the thought process with this. Work out the salvation given to you by God through Christ. It's not dealing with works. Some would read that and say, well, this is saying that I've got to do these works and that's how I prove salvation. That's not what he's saying. The salvation has come through Christ. It's the gift of God's grace. What we are to do is we are to work that out. We are to live that out. We are to allow what is in us to come out of us in spite of the form we are currently in. Amen. Now, we're going to... Let me back this up just a little bit with a few things. Let me make this statement to you. Form doesn't matter to God. Your inabilities does not hinder God if you have the mind of Christ. Let me prove this to you. Moses was a stutterer. In his form, he would say to God, I can't speak for you. But in him was the ability of God to provide God's will. Abraham was scared, and when push came to shove, would lie. He did it twice on his wife. No, she's not my wife. No. She's not. Abraham, he would say, surely I can't do this for you, God. I have lied. My form, how I am, will keep me from being who you've called me to be. But God had put in him the ability that in spite of his form, if he can get his mind right and put his faith in God and believe, God has equipped him with what he needs to live God's will. David was too young. He was the youngest of the brothers. He wasn't the warrior. He wasn't the leader. He wasn't the one capable. No one regarded him highly. He was just out tending sheep. Surely he's not the one. And Samuel says, Jesse, surely you've got another son. None of these are the one. Well, I've got one more out there, but he's just a ruddy young boy. But the form didn't matter to God. It was what God had put in him that mattered, that God had equipped him so that he could bring it out of him. Okay? Gideon. Get up, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon says, who, me? My family's the weakest family in Israel. And of my tribe, my family's the weakest of my tribe. And of my family, who's the weakest tribe of all of Israel, I'm the weakest one. You're not talking to me. My form is not that of a mighty warrior. But God doesn't look at your form. He looks at what He's put in you that He can bring out of you. Amen. All you have to do is have the mind of Christ and let your faith be in God. Amen. Now, let's carry on. We're not finished yet. What about Esther? She wasn't invited before the king. She didn't have the proper lineage, the proper ability, the proper upbringing. She was a deceiving Jew. She was a Jew there by deception, not telling anybody. If she goes before the king, she's probably going to die. But her form was not what God was after. I'm trying to go somewhere with this, so just bear with me. Isaiah was a man of unclean lips. He stood before God in the vision in Isaiah 6, and he said, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among unclean people. But God was not looking for his form. God was looking to get out of him what he himself had deposited in him. Jeremiah said, I'm too young. I can't do that. My form won't allow me. I can't bear up under that. But God had a different plan. Peter was a denier. He had denied Christ at his most tempting, most trying moment, his worst moment. And Peter denies him three times. His form surely cost him his apostleship. God was not concerned about his form. God can forgive the failures. He's after the salvation that he's put inside through Christ now that he can pull out. His will, his purpose. Paul was a Christ hater, a persecutor. We don't know if he took part in killing Christians. We do know he took part in being there as witness while Christians were killed. We do know that he was imprisoning them. We do know that he himself talked about he was the lowest of the low. God was not looking for a form. He was looking for a plan that he could pull out. What about Mary? She's a young virgin. I don't have the right form. I've never even known a man. How could I have a child? And how could that child be the Son of God? It's not about the form. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm trying to get this into your mind, first of all. What God wants to bring out of you has nothing to do with the form you are currently in. Has nothing to do with your ability or your inability. Has nothing to do with your weaknesses or your strengths. God is not concerned about your weaknesses or your strengths. So quit bringing that up to Him all the time. He's not concerned about it. He doesn't ask you to speak for Him because you're such a good speaker. He's got something He's given you, salvation, that He wants to bring out of you as His plan and His purpose and His will that He has prepared for you. And all you have to do is have the same mind that Jesus had when He came in the wrong form and produced the life-changing salvation. I mean, come on, do you see that? The worst form imaginable was Jesus to be the Messiah. No one was going to look at him and say, hey, there's the Messiah. His own family struggled with concepts to believe. Isaiah writes about him and says, there was no form nor comeliness to look upon him. He wasn't the best looking, the strongest. What did he have? He had an assignment from the Father in the form of a man. He had the anointing of the Spirit, and he had the faith to trust the Father with all things. Yes, he's the Son of God, but he came to this earth and took on the form of a man and humbled himself even lower as a servant. And the King of Glory became the servant of all, because the form doesn't matter. It's the purpose of God that is going to make it successful. The form is just the vehicle. And God does great things with weakness. We've seen that portrayed throughout the men and women that I've already talked to you about. So when God says in the Word to us, work out your own salvation now with fear and trembling, that means something different than what we think it means. It doesn't mean show me how good you are and how worthy you are by all the works that you're doing. It means work this out that's in you. Live it out. Do the things I've put in your heart. Have the mind that believes me and trusts me, and have faith to walk with me, and you will work out this salvation. Keep yourself humble. Understand your form may not look right, but I'm able to do what you can't do. That's exactly right. This form is not permanent. Do you know the form you're in right now? This form, this flesh, this life, this is deteriorating. It's only going to last so long. It's not about the form. That's going back to dust. And all of my weaknesses are going to the dust with it. Oh, come on now. Let me say that again. Do you know that when you die, all of your struggles, all of your weaknesses, all of your failures, all of your strengths, everything you've collected, all of those things, they're all going back to dust with your form, with your body. What remains is either your faith in God through Christ, being saved and living eternally with Him, or else suffering eternally for rejecting Him. But your weaknesses and strengths and none of that's going anywhere. That's all tied to this form. And God's not concerned with it. Oh, if you can hear that, that could set you free. See, we judge what we can do for God by our forms. God doesn't look that way. The Bible says God doesn't look on the outward. He looks to the heart. We judge people by their form. Well, God can't do that through them. Says who? He can talk through a donkey. Amen. He can cause a fish to produce money. Right? I mean, he can do anything. The trees of the field can clap their hands. That's what symbolically the Bible says. That, yeah. He can curse the tree and it'll die. He can speak it to life and it'll live again. The form, it's not about the form. Quit measuring your life, your abilities with God, your usefulness, your callings, quit measuring those by your form or the forms of others. That's not what God's after. Here's what God wants. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that in the form he was in, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And he even came down and took on the form of a human, of a man, and he was the servant of all. Amen? How many of you believe that presidents are going to go to the lowest ones, take out the towel, get on their knees, and wash their dirty feet? Dictators. I mean, do you really believe that you know, Fidel Castro died just the other day? Do you really believe that Fidel Castro, as the dictator and leader, he's going to humble himself and go to the lowest among Cuba and get down and put on the towel and wash their feet? No. Jesus did that, because here's the thing. A humble and contrite spirit keeps you focused on the fact that God is the one that's able to do it. Amen. See, here's the thing, guys. Quit measuring God's ability in you by you. Did you hear that? Quit measuring God's ability in you by you. God's greater than you. He can do more than you. He can do more through you than you can. Amen. So you've got to get this. So you've got to get your mind. Let this mind be in who, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man, humbled himself. And then Paul says to the church of Philippi, humble yourselves. Fear, trembling, lower yourselves. Don't worry about it. If they put you or me in prison, if we take stripes on our backs, if these things happen, we'll rejoice in it, because it's not about the forms, it's the salvation that Christ has brought to us, that is in us, that God now is working out of us. Amen. So that's what we've got to hear. The form you are in is equal to the task you carry. Well, you don't have to wait to get better to do things for God. When salvation is yours, when you are in Christ and His salvation is yours, that salvation will work itself out even through your forms. Amen. Somehow, Lord, let us hear that. Here's what I see in this. Because he says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence, but now more in my absence, work out yourself. For it is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Notice that. Look at that. Hold on. You glossed right over it. Go back to verse 12 for me. Look at this. It's in my prayer. But now, next part of verse 12. Much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now go to verse 13. For it is God who what? Works what? In you. Okay? Point to you. In you. He didn't qualify that. In you. Right now. In your current form. With your weaknesses. With your struggles. With your background. With your problems. With your issues, it is God who works in you, and look, both to will and to do. Amen? Do you see that? It's God that works in you to will you, to get His will into you. That's where the mind comes in. You got to get the will of God. It's God's work in you to will His good pleasure. To desire, to believe for it, to accept it. It's God. When we accept Christ, when salvation is ours and we understand what Christ has brought to us, and we quit looking at our form and we let the mind of Christ become now in us, when we understand that, then God has put His will in us. That's what He says. He's put His will in us. Do you know how many of you have accepted Jesus as your Savior? How many of you tonight would say, I have salvation through Christ? Then you know what that means? It doesn't mean you were just saved, now you can go to heaven. It means through Christ, God the Father now has put in you His will. It's in you now. Through Christ, that's salvation. God's will, God's ways, God's thoughts, God's plans are in me, but God doesn't just say, I put my will in you, but both to will and to do. So God has put His will in you, salvation, for you to be reconciled, for you to be brought back in union with Him through Christ. He provided the way for you to return. He's put His will, which is good. He knows His thoughts He has for you. They are thoughts to bless you and not curse you, help you and not hurt you, right? His will, now salvation has come. He's put His will in you, but He didn't stop there. Now He will do His good pleasure through you. Oh, but I'm not worthy. He didn't ask you. I'm not capable. He didn't ask you. It's His will that's now in you. And it's His work that He will do through you if you will keep the right frame of mind and faith in fear and trembling, letting your mind rest upon the same things that Jesus did, which is, I desire to do the will of God. I believe God can do all things. Then God the Father can take the will that He put in you through Christ. He can bring it out of you and work it out through you for His glory in the world. In any form that you're in. Do you know God knows you better than you know yourself? Do you know God knew every one of your weaknesses from the very beginning? Before there was a you, God knew your weaknesses. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. That seems to take away some of our excuses. Right? Well, God, hold on, let me tell you a little bit about me. Here's why I can't do that. And I think God says, hold on, I knew that about you before you knew that about you. And then stop me. The only thing I'm after, I'm not after your form, I'm not after your great ability, I don't need your ability. All I'm after is my will that I put in you through salvation. I want to bring it out of you. Ah, amen. Before I ever said, I ran from the Lord and ran from the call to preach. But you know what? Before I ever even thought about it, God had already said, I'm putting something in you. And if you'll accept Christ as your Savior, if you'll let my salvation now come in, that's in you, it'll work out of you. The gifts of God are in us. The plans of God are in us. The destiny of God is in us. But it has to mingle with His will. Salvation, it mingles with that so that it can work its way out with fear and trembling. Ah, come on. Can you see that, hear that? There's just something in that that's just like pregnant with life. If we can hear that. It's there. What's sad is to see people that'll never turn to Jesus and can never fulfill the things God has for them. Because salvation, Christ is the agent now. Salvation, the shed blood that brings us back to the Father so that the will can now be seen. The mind can now believe. Faith can now come alive. And then faith will produce. So, here's a couple things that I see in this. And let me give these to you real quickly. A couple things that I see in this. Salvation. There's something about work out your own salvation. There's something about that we miss, because we think salvation is just, okay, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Salvation is more than that. Salvation is God salvaging relationship with man and saving His plan and His purpose so that now you can live in it. Do you hear that? Salvation is more than just a get out of hell free card. That's the way we've looked at it. But it's more than that. God was in Christ on the cross. God was doing more than just saying, hey, I'm making a way for everybody to go to heaven. That's a huge part of it, live eternally with God. But it's about reconciling. It's about reconciliation. It's about God restoring His people to Him again if they'll just believe. Because God is restoring what is in us now through salvation, so that now what's in us can come out of us for His glory, and we can be light in a darkened world. See, no wonder the enemy wants to steal purpose and wants to cause men and women to think that we have no purpose, we have no plan, we're just creatures on the earth, just like any other creature, and there's really nothing beyond death. And the enemy is deceiving people because he doesn't want people to realize God's had a plan all along for you. And when that plan is able to come alive through restoration, through Christ, through salvation, now you can boldly, in any form, with any weakness, with any struggle, you can boldly work that out with fear and trembling and say, God, You've awakened it in me. I believe You can bring it out of me. And then you can step by faith, and God will produce what He created you to produce. Salvation. Salvation is personal. Work out your salvation. It's a humanity-wide thing, but it's personal. There's something God has for you. He wants to restore you to life. How many know to be restored to life means to be restored to purpose? Salvation is possible. Because Christ came and died, He made it possible. And what God's purpose for you has been lying dormant in you. But it's made possible through salvation now for it to live again and to produce. And salvation is problematic if it's not understood properly and not lived out. God did not save you so you could sit on it until you go to heaven. He saved you to live out His plan and His purpose on earth as well as in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know how that is? Through salvation. Heaven meets earth at the point of the cross at salvation. The will of the Father is done in heaven and on earth at the point of the cross at salvation. Now, the will of the Father can be lived. Oh, but I've got this form that doesn't look right, and I've got these weeds. God doesn't care. He has restored purpose to your dead life. And if you can believe that, if you can have the mind of Christ to believe that, and quit thinking it strange that God would use you, whether in the form of God or in the form of a servant. If you would just believe, if you can believe all things are possible. And believing, you have to believe in your mind and in your heart. Lord, help us to hear this. And to grab hold of it. It was those people that I went through in the Bible. There was just a moment when all of a sudden their weak forms just believed. Abraham just believed. He was called the father of the faith. Moses walked in before Pharaoh and just believed enough to say, God said, let my people go. Amen. David just believed enough to say, why aren't we doing something about this Philistine? Elijah just believed enough to say, God said it's not going to rain. And then 3.5 years later to say, God said, it's about to rain again. if you can get the mind of Christ that just believes that the Father's will has been restored and the Father's plan is able to work and the Father's ability is greater than our form, then anything becomes possible. Okay. I'm going to read this again and we're going to close. Because with that in mind, I want you to read it. That's what I did. I heard that, I wrote it down, and then I read it again, and it was like it was alive to me. We'll start at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because of that, God has highly exalted him. And given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Because we are fulfilling the will of God in the plan of salvation. And it's not about the form. It's about the mindset and what you can believe. Amen? Amen? You know, Satan tempted Jesus, and Jesus chose to believe the Father. You can say, well, there was never any danger of Jesus ever turning away. He wasn't tempted like I was. My Bible says he was tempted in all ways just like we were, yet he did it without sin. Because he came as a man. And he showed us the way that a weak form can trust an amazing God and overcome with this thing called salvation. Amen. Live out your salvation. Work it out. Walk it out. Even through the weakness of your form. Stand to your feet with me tonight. I hope that you'll hear that. I hope it'll challenge you like it did me. Because I've given God all my excuses. But the reality is he is unconcerned about my excuses. See, I give him my excuses. He said, why don't you give me instead what I've put in you? Which is my will. How can I do that? By accepting Christ and allowing my salvation to bring my will alive and to let your excuses die and then walk in that. Amen. Faith. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Have faith in God. Bow your heads with me. Father, we come to you tonight. Combine your revelatory work with the word tonight. And come alive in us. And show us that in Christ, and through salvation, you are bringing to life your will in us. You're restoring us to you. And you are restoring us to your will for us. And now you will work it through us, even in our weakness, even in our struggle, if we will have the mind of Christ Jesus. And with fear and trembling, with a humble heart, recognizing we can't do it on our own, we allow you to work that out. We can shine as lights in this darkened world. Let us never offer you another excuse, but rather, let us offer you our faith in your restored will for our lives. And as our faith is lifted to you, do all things through us for the cause of Christ and for your glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen.